Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Alrighty, welcome back. Bullet Fox here on this Tuesday. Do not forget, coming up top of the hour, 6 o'clock, talking fantasy football. Dave Richard, CBS Sports HQ. But right now, I want to welcome in on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. He is a fantastic columnist with Cleveland.com. Often see him covering the Browns as well as the Buckeyes. He is also, and I just found this out, the president, Dustin, of the Football Writers Association of America this year. Doug LaMaurice is our guest. Now, Doug, was there some campaigning that went into that? Were there tip calculators that were passed out? How did you come about being the president of the Football Writers Association of America?
By accident, and because nobody else wanted it.
You could have talked that up. I put it on a tee for you. You could have said, well, you know, the people finally got what they wanted. But it wasn't. It wasn't that way.
I can't lie to my audience. I backed into it, and I'm driving the organization into the ground. So sorry to everybody out there.
Well, we are really happy to have you on this Tuesday. And, of course, unfortunately, some more bad news for the Browns here to start Tuesday and really – centering on this Tuesday is Denzel Ward going down with the calf strain. They're saying similar to what Wyatt Teller had, and he missed some games. Now that coincides with Myles Garrett missing this week also because of COVID, but Denzel could very well be looking at missing Tennessee, maybe Baltimore as well. How did the Browns, is it kind of business as usual, just next man up, trying to make it happen for this week against Jacksonville?
Yeah, I think they got outscored them. I mean, I think the answer for the defense is the offense. I think the answer is Baker Mayfield and Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt and Jarvis Landry. And I think the offense at times is the answer, you know, when the weather's normal, is the answer for the defense a lot of times. Because, you know, this whole season it's been a lot of lean on Miles, lean on Denzel, and hope the other guys are kind of average. But I think it'll be a great test that, you know, I think they're going to beat Jacksonville. Jacksonville's not going to, I don't think, test this defense to the utmost. But then when you get to Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry, and when you get to Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore offense, and if you don't have Denzel Ward back, I mean, that is okay. Well, maybe we're not going to hold them under 20. We need Baker Mayfield and Nick Chubb in the offense to carry the load.
We're talking with Doug LaMaurice, of course, on the hotline. Doug, when you look at this football team led by Baker Mayfield, where are you at with Baker? I mean, do you think he's progressing? Do you think that there's signs that he could be a franchise quarterback, or are you still concerned?
I think he's inconsistent, but I think I have a belief that he can, over time, keep doing more of the good and less of the bad, and that being with Kevin Stefanski and being with Alex Van Pelt will help him on that path. And so you watch him, you know, miss those couple throws to the tight ends in the end zone on Sunday, and you think, oh man, you know, how do you miss those throws? But then you watch him make other throws, you know, downfield to Hodge and downfield to Higgins. And, you know, there's still enough there. It's all about the accuracy with him, that you're just not going to get the bonus plays with his legs like you're going to get with Patrick Mahomes or Carson Wentz or Kyler Murray, and he's not going to pull magic out of his hat. So he has to be efficient. He has to be on time. He has to be on target. He has to read defenses. But so much of that to me is him settling in with the coaching staff, settling in with an offensive system. And to me, I've seen enough to want to see more, right? I don't think he's a finished product, but I'm really curious to see what year 4 overall and what year 2 with Kevin Stefanski looks like, because I do think through the inconsistency, you certainly see progress this year.
Hey, Doug, I enjoyed the column after the Browns game on Sunday, the win over the Eagles, and I thought it was interesting. You meant it as sarcasm, and you had to point that out to folks. But are we as fans able to appreciate what's going on right now with the Browns? Is it, in your mind, are we kind of being a little too nitpicky with stuff? Should we just look at 7-3 and Kevin Stefanski and where this organization is going and just kind of feel really good instead of being mired in what's wrong and you know, what's not looking good for the Browns right now?
Absolutely. 1,000%. And I understand the desire to sort of get to being the Kansas City Chiefs, but somewhere between 1-31 and being the Chiefs, there's a great big middle. And there can be a lot of winning in that middle. And they're in that middle right now. And I've had two just statement of facts tweets this week. I just tweeted this week, number of teams in the NFL with a better record than the Browns, 3. And people reacted to it like I split the atom. It's just a fact. The only teams with an actual better record than the Browns are the Saints, the Chiefs, and the Steelers. And then they're tied in that big pack of 7-3. And it's like, it felt like people had to have that, the obvious pointed out in order to appreciate it. And I'm not talking about tiebreakers. I'm not talking about who's beaten winning teams and who's beaten losing teams. They're 7-3. They're 7-3. And they can only play who they play. And so I do, and maybe it's the squeaky wheels on Twitter. We know how it works. But I do feel sometimes that for a fan base that has been through absolute misery for 2 decades, that it's like they're here, and I'm not sure that everybody is enjoying it as much as they should, because they're worried about what's next. They're worried about, well, they haven't beaten the Steelers and the Ravens yet. And it's like, okay, but right now they're 7-3, and they don't have to apologize for that. And all good teams beat bad teams. So maybe everybody realizes it, but I think it's worth a reminder. So I think that's what I think people should be focused on, because 7-3, no matter what, in the NFL is pretty good.
Doug, how do you think Kevin Stefanski has done so far?
Good. I mean, I think it would be easy to give a head coach an excuse in a pandemic, a first-year head coach, and be like, man, you didn't get an offseason, you didn't get any kind of preseason. Man, how do you get your message across? You can't get your scheme implemented. The excuses are built in. So to be 7-3, it feels like what he wants to do offensively, the plan, how he wants to win, fits this roster, makes a lot of sense. And then you just listen to the guys on the Zoom, and they're not going to, you know, we're on Zoom calls, we're not in the locker room, they're not going to criticize anybody, but they also sort of volunteer the fact that they feel like they believe in this guy. So I think you have to have a lot of faith in this, and I do think in this league there can be sort of like a little cult personality built up around some coaches, and people like offensive geniuses, and I'll be very curious what people around the league are saying about Kevin Stefanski in another year or two. We've seen how people have talked about Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay, and they both got to a Super Bowl, so that's why you talk about those guys. But Kevin Stefanski knows what he's doing offensively, and it feels like they found their guy, and I think you have to give extra credit for figuring this out in the midst of a pandemic where it would be easy to have excuses.
Doug LeMaurice, Cleveland.com, is our guest here, North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He joins us here on Bull and Fox. So, Doug, I want to shift gears now and talk a little Buckeyes with you. The first playoff rankings come out tonight. How certain are you, how certain should we all be, that Ohio State will have a spot in the top four when these things come out around 7 o'clock tonight?
Fairly certain. I'd be rather shocked if they're not in the top four, because I do think the committee is going to lean more on eye test because the schedules are so different. We didn't get non-conference play. But, you know, they just can't live in a world where you rank Northwestern ahead of Ohio State just because Northwestern beat Wisconsin and they played one extra game. And it's like, nobody thinks Ohio State's actually better than Northwestern. You know, like, they don't want to look silly. And so lots of times they've done a really good job, I think, over the years of sort of doing resume voting, and you've got to earn it. But the resumes are so vastly different, you know, whatever. Clemson and Alabama and schools like that have played twice as many games as Ohio State. But that, you know, Ohio State's not one of the four best teams. Of course Ohio State's one of the four best teams. So I don't think they want to look silly. I don't think they want to overthink it. So I'm assuming Ohio State is going to be third behind Alabama and Notre Dame. And if they're not, I'll be very curious for the explanation of why they wouldn't be.
What did you make of the second half performance by the Buckeyes defense there against Indiana?
I think they need to make some changes. I think they need to make some changes on the back end. They're giving up too many big plays. We talked to Ryan Day about it on the Zoom today. He said this defense, the way they play, it's designed to not give up big plays. And all they did was give up big plays against Indiana. And listen, Michael Penix is a real dude. He stood in there against the pass rush. He wasn't rattled. He made throws. Indiana's got two real receivers. They were beating people down the field. But Ohio State also had some mix-ups in coverage. They were biting on play action and getting beat deep. I think they have to try somebody different at deep safety. I think they might have to try somebody different at slot corner. They're thin in the secondary. They have some recruiting misses that are back to haunt them a little bit. But they also have some really young four-star. I just think they need to mix it up because they don't have to have a great defense to win the national championship, but that was too much. I think that was a little bit of a breaking point with how many times they got beat deep. And so it feels like to me they are going to. The way they talked about it today, Kerry Combs and Ryan Day, I think they are going to maybe try something new. And I think they have to experiment these next two games against Illinois and Michigan State because you've got to get this figured out before the playoff. You don't want to take that secondary the way it's playing right now into the playoff against Trevor Lawrence and Mac Jones.
Doug, I agree with you, and I think a lot of people do in terms of just a few personnel changes, possibly, you know, Josh Proctor seeing more time. The one thing I do want to ask you about, though, is Kerry Combs as far as scheme goes. Should they be – I've been reading and hearing a lot of, well, the Buckeyes need to play more man, which is what they did under Jeff Hafley. Is Combs – does he have them too much in zone, and should they be more in man, which – a lot of people say is a big deal. And Indiana, really, in that second half, was just picking apart, finding the places in the zone, the soft places in the zone, and exploiting them.
I think the scheme's okay. I mean, they actually mixed up man and zone a decent amount with Hafley last year. And when Combs was here the first time, they were press man across the board almost all the time. So, you know, they got beat on a 4th-and-10 crossing route against Indiana where they were in man, and they got picked. And the guy was wide open for a touchdown on 4th-and-10. So I think it's hard. You know, sometimes I think they've been single high safety now the past two seasons. They always played two deep safeties before. Sometimes, you know, when your safeties are getting beat deep, it's like, okay, should we have a second safety back there? They showed that against Clemson in the playoff last year, some against Trevor Lawrence, second safety. I wonder if they would mix in a little more two safety look where you'd have Josh Proctor and Marcus Hooker out there together. But Ryan Day and Kerry Combs both today were sort of saying, like, scheme's not it. Ryan Day is saying it, not just Kerry Combs defending himself. Ryan Day saying the scheme is fine, the plan is fine, which, you know, they're not calling kids out, but it made me think, okay, if they really think the scheme is fine, I think it's a personnel tweak then. And so I think they'll try that first, and then if it feels like, okay, well, we switch personnel and we still have problems, then maybe you go to the scheme.
What are we doing with Michigan and Harbaugh? You think is he done there?
I think he's done. So his contract is up after next season, and I don't know how you could extend him right now. And if you're not going to give him a new contract, then how can you bring him back with only 1 year on his current contract? Because then all the whole next season is a march toward he's a dead man walking. So there, I think the way the contract is worked out at the moment forces them into something. But I've sort of defended him that, like, they were so down when he got there that he's raised the level. You know, he had raised a level quite a bit from where they were with Rich Rodriguez and Brady Hoke. So it was like, okay, well, you're not winning big games. You're winning a lot more games than used to, though. But I think this season's a breaking point, and I just think there's too many other guys who would have a chance to come in and do something. And we all know the list. You can come up. Everybody has the same kind of list. But it just feels like it's time for a breakup. And it's time – I wrote last week, it's time to let Michigan be Michigan again because they're too intertwined with Harbaugh right now. And it's all about him, and that's a great program, and they're intertwined with him, I think, in a bad way right now. And I think it's not a firing necessarily. I just think they could look at each other and say, you know what, we did our best. You did help us, Jim. You came to be a savior. You did help us some, but now we got to go to the next guy. And I think this will be his last year.
Doug, appreciate the time as always, buddy. Keep up the good work, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thanks, Doug.
All right, that's Doug LeMaurice, Cleveland.com, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly!